Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." For more than 2,000 years, he's been doing all that he promised. Today, his church remains an assembly of his saints, providing a place for worship, fellowship, and instruction. In a world that often feels isolated and alone, church remains a place to connect. It's a place to call home. We're so glad you've chosen to connect with the family of believers at Campus Church in the Crown Center at Pensacola Christian College, as together we rejoice in the Lord.
Take your Bible, if you would, and join me in the book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. As we continue in this section of Scripture, we're going to see Abraham following the commands of God. And I would submit to you that there has never been, where we find ourselves today, a more difficult command for Abraham to follow than is presented in our passage today. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever used the expression before, "I just can't take it anymore"? And I'm not being, of course, I'm not trying to be leading with that question, but whether we've said the words or not, there are times when we find ourselves in circumstances and settings, and we get to the point where we say, "I just can't take it." It's as if we are saying, "There is more on me at this moment than I can bear." And in all honesty, if we were to just back up from those moments and evaluate, did I actually find myself able to take it? Was I, in reality, able to navigate through? The test that was before Abraham was one that he could not have been prepared for at the age of 75, when God told him to leave his family, his history, his hometown, get thee up out of thy country. He would never have been prepared at the age of 75 for the test that God had for him today. God had been preparing Abraham just as he has been preparing you, preparing me. You will be ready when the time comes for what we might call the most difficult test of all. That is, of course, the title of our message today. Speaking of Abraham, one commentary I read said, "The test, instead of breaking him, brings him to the summit of his lifelong walk with God." Now, again, I would submit that Abraham would never choose this test. I mean, if there's a variety of tests that he could select from, this is not the test he's going to choose. But seldom does our God, our instructor, the one who brings us along, offer us a choice of tests. He chooses it for us. But all the pinnacle of life that Abraham comes to, the place of fellowship with his God, the reassuring that he has what he needs, because of the test that was the most difficult test of all. The first thing we're going to notice in the passage that is about to unfold is what we'll call an unreasonable command. An unreasonable command. Now, whenever you and I are asked to do something that we find unreasonable, it is usually accompanied by a fair amount of frustration. Have you ever been asked to do something at work or at school or at home or by your parents or whoever? Have you ever been asked to do something that you found most unreasonable? Genesis 22, your Bibles are open there. Let's begin in verse number 1. "And it came to pass after these things, after God had brought Abraham through a series of life tests, some he passed, some he failed. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." The testing of Abraham's faith began what we have recorded when Abraham was 75. Genesis 12, 1, 10 chapters back, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now, while this may have been a challenge and a command that at the time seemed unreasonable, it was not of the same scale, not of the same magnitude of what he's facing now. But because Abraham trusted God then, he would continue to learn that God could, in fact, be trusted. In chapter 12, Abraham wasn't ready to get out of the country and go to the land of Moriah. But he was at that time ready to get out of Haran to the land that God would show him. He would never have been ready for Moriah had he not been ready to leave Haran. The test and trying of our faith today prepare us for the testing and trying of our faith tomorrow. God, help me be faithful today because you have something else planned to build upon for tomorrow. Let's be reminded that if God's tests always appeared reasonable, where is the necessity of faith? Now, please process the question, rouse your thinking, engage your mind. If God's test in your life, it always seems reasonable. If every time God brings something else into your life, you come to the conclusion, well, of course, that's the next thing. I know exactly what God is doing. If it always was this reasonable, understandable, completely logical test, where is the necessity of faith? We read, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So often what God is doing in our life is God is bringing some trying of our faith into our life that clearly seems unreasonable. But God, I may not understand what you're doing. I only am called to understand or at least trust you. The unreasonable command, take your son, your only son, and offer him. Now, we don't have time today. I wish we could. We don't have time today to unpack all that means. Like, well, God is asking him to offer his son a burnt sacrifice. This is the eternal God. God knows that he will stay Abraham's hand. God understands the outcome of all this. But here it is that God lays it before Abraham. Abraham, this is the trying of your faith. And I know it seems unreasonable, but Abraham, what now will you do? So often we want faith to provide only the blessing. We want the sickness to be healed. We want the wedding to happen, the baby to be conceived, the job to come, the finances to be provided, the child to return, and so on. But isn't faith trusting that God is better than what this life can provide and he is better than what death can take away? What unreasonable circumstances have you been placed in? If your faith is being tried right now, it is only because God knows your faith is prepared to survive the test, not to collapse beneath the weight of it. If you could not handle the trying of your faith, then I promise you, God would never have allowed it. I'm not talking about the sinful choices that we bring upon ourselves. I'm talking about the trying of your faith. If your faith is being tried right now, I promise you, God knows you can survive the test. The first thing we see in this passage is what we would call an unreasonable command. But let's move beyond it. And let's look at what we'll call an unreserved obedience. An unreserved obedience. Now, we have to be careful to note that while we don't see them recorded, it is quite reasonable to assume that Abraham has questions. But having all the answers is not his prerequisite for unreserved obedience. What Abraham doesn't do is he says, God, I am prepared to obey you as soon as you provide a little bit more information. I'm weighing all my options. God, I know you're doing something here, so you fill me in on what you're going to do, and then I'm going to offer you my unreserved obedience. Again, wherein lies the faith in all of the answers before I offer my obedience? Notice what the Bible says beginning in verse number 3, Genesis 22. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now, I want us to notice a couple things about this unreserved obedience. Notice a few of the details of how it is that Abraham is obeying. The first thing that I'd like to bring to our attention is, number one, time didn't diminish the call. Time does not diminish the call. Now, Abraham is told, okay, get up and get going unto the land of Moriah, and I'm going to show you the mountain upon which you are to offer your son. Moriah is going to be approximately a three-day journey for Abraham, his two servants, and his son. This is a several-day journey. How many of you have ever had time between the directing of the Lord and the actual taking the step of obedience? Like, you knew God is telling me to do this, and maybe you surrendered yourself at least mentally to that which God had before you, but somehow time starts to tick by one moment after the next, and now we start to process, well, isn't there another way I could do this? Isn't there some other means by which I could obey the command? Time doesn't diminish the call. How often do we begin to waffle, so to speak, on the call of God? Did God call you to a ministry, to a marriage, to some monetary commitment, to a mission? Is he calling you to a specific major? Don't allow yourself to be talked out of what God has called you to do. You'll always find what will appear to be a justifiable reason to do so, and your reasoning always seems most reasonable. After all, it is your reasoning. Clearly, Abraham could have found a number of reasons why this could not be what God is asking of him, such a sacrifice. But he didn't use time as his opportunity out. Notice next, not only time didn't diminish the call, trust delights in God's unseen provision. Trust delights in God's unseen provision. Genesis 22, beginning in verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. I and the lad, we're going to go. We're coming back to you again. Do you know what Abraham's doing? Abraham is already delighting in God's unseen provision. God, I do not know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't know what it is that you're doing. But God, I know one thing. You are a God who provides. And if you're calling me to go do this, this is the child that you promised. Through Isaac shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is the son that I've been waiting for. This is the child on which your promises hang. God, I'm taking him and I'm going to obey you, but I am trusting that as I obey, you are going to make a way. Did Abraham know how this is going to turn out? Not completely. The conclusion is yet unseen, unknown. He just knew the one who did. Again, an unreserved obedience. What else do we note about it? Well, the third thing I note is truth is what you hold on to in the trial. Truth is what you hold on to in the trial. Did you notice earlier in our text that Abraham, through eyes of faith, had grown increasingly clear through the years? He's starting to see things now with a perception that he couldn't have 25, 30 years ago. He's anticipating something of a good conclusion. He's holding on to the right thing. Faith reassures us of God's goodness even when it cannot be seen. Faith, it reassures us of God's goodness even when I can't see it. This is something that I absolutely know. If you and I begin with anything short of God's goodness, of him being always, only, exclusively good, where does that leave us when it comes to our faith? We would begin asking at any given moment, how can God be good if he is asking this of me? And I'm not saying, please note, I'm not saying that bad things don't happen. Bad things do happen, but not because God is anything less than good. In the midst of the trial, hold on to the truth that God is good and he will. Even in the midst of your hurt, your pain, even your loss, allow you to taste and see something of his goodness. Okay, so what do we see? First, we see an unreasonable command. We see an unreserved obedience. And then lastly, let's look at an unanticipated provision. An unanticipated provision. Okay, get your Bibles again. We're going to look at a little bit longer passage in our text, Genesis 22. Let's start in verse number 9. Genesis 22, beginning in verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. A few observations regarding God's unanticipated provision. First thing that you should note is Abraham's faith went beyond receiving faith to sacrificing faith. Are you still processing, still thinking? Abraham's faith, it goes beyond receiving faith to offering, sacrificing faith. I found that in my life, so oftentimes in some form of immaturity, my faith always expects to be the recipient of something. So I'll pray, Lord, I'm asking for this. In fact, my prayer list is filled with things that I'm asking God to do because I know that he's the only one that can do it. And well, we should. I'm supposed to ask so that I can receive. Seek and I can find. Knock, it shall be opened unto me. I get that. But how often does God bring us to a point of spiritual maturity where I don't always have to be the recipient as the product of my faith? Is there ever a time where my faith can actually offer something as opposed to continually receiving something? Abraham's faith went beyond receiving faith to sacrificing faith. The genuineness of our faith is not on display when God gives the child. It is on full display when he takes the child, or when your spouse is diagnosed with cancer, or when you lose the job, or the baby does not come, or when the move is not what you expected, or when the retirement funds don't materialize, or when the spouse leaves. Your faith is on display when the answer to your prayer is not the answer you were requesting, but instead the answer is, "My grace is sufficient for thee." What do we notice about this unanticipated provision? First of all, Abraham's faith went beyond receiving faith to sacrificing faith. Next, God rewards our full surrender with the fullness of his blessing. God rewards our full surrender with the fullness of his blessing. Genesis 21, verse number 12. "And God said unto Abraham, in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Remember, God's already said that Abraham's blessing was tied up in Isaac. Yet this was the blessing God was requiring of Abraham. If God required this provision, how would the promise be fulfilled? Abraham is now required not to reason, but to rest on the faithful provision of God. As we notice how God provides, let's again revisit this narrative. Genesis 22, verse number 9, "They came to the place which God told them of. Abraham built an altar, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, lays him upon the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." This is full surrender. To what point has Abraham come? To the point of, "God, I'm not going to hold anything back from you." With open hands, he had offered that which was most important to him, the child of promise. And because he has surrendered with open palms, he is also prepared to receive the full blessing of God's provision. This is the true mountain peak of Abraham's faith. Often, we lean on the provision instead of the provider. You know, there are some things that were intended to be leaned on, and that is Jesus, our provider. But so often, we find ourselves leaning on the lesser things, leaning on the provision as opposed to leaning exclusively on the provider. We have our hands filled with those things that come from his hand. And then we find ourselves holding tightly onto the things he's provided and unable to take the hand of the one who invites us to walk with him. Our hands are too full of the things that we've gotten from him that we no longer find ourselves walking with the same. What is it that we notice about this unanticipated provision? Number three, God is keenly aware of your trial and is ready at the right time to offer his provision. Do you know, every great story brings us to a dramatic climax where we wonder, how's the story going to be resolved? In this narrative, this event, this happening on Mount Moriah, the knife is raised. I can picture in my mind the hand is trembling. The eyes are filled with tears, and Abraham is ready to do the deed. And then I look as the camera, so to speak, turns, and now I see the face of Isaac. And there's a face of "Dad, I love you." There's a face of fear. There's a face of confusion. And all of this is unfolding before us. And then a voice, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." You notice what was caught in the thicket. When they're walking up the mount, Mount Moriah, they're walking up the mountain. Father, the wood. Did you notice that the wood was clave unto Isaac, the son? Isaac carries the wood up the hill, even as he becomes a picture of another who would carry the wood up the hill. And he is bound now, and then he is fastened, so to speak, to the altar as another is fastened. God will provide himself, my son. God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham, as his hand is trembling, Abraham, here am I. Do not offer the child. Sometimes we say, well, why does God say, now I know? Because if he knows the beginning from the end, if he knows my thoughts before I think them, why? Some say this is what we call anthropomorphic language. This is language that we can understand. This is his faith on full display. It's not just a faith saying, God, I do trust you. It is a faith now that we see for all the world. Now we know, in fact, you do trust him. There is another that is caught for you. And now we look and we see there is a ram caught in the thicket. A ram caught in the thickets? These are the animals that find their way through all kinds of brush and all kinds of perilous circumstances. They go up and down the sides of mountains. Nothing stops them. And yet God had him prepared, caught in the thicket for Abraham. And now a ram is placed in the stead of his son, a sacrifice in the place of. Jesus had come. John the Baptist had been preparing the way. He'd been preaching repentance and preparation for the kingdom of God. He was not that Messiah, which he acknowledges, but there's another that's coming. And he sees him coming. Jesus is walking, and John, with this voice that was suitable for the wilderness, John pauses and he looks and he cries out, "Behold!" Can you hear him say it? This shout, "Behold! Everyone look!" And then he points his hands to the one, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, he's the one, the Lamb. You've offered sacrifices for years and years and years, but all of it just a picture. Now, the Lamb that has come. You could offer rivers of sacrifices that blood would flow. You could offer the fruit of your body for the sin of your soul, but none will take the place of the Lamb. And a Lamb has come to die in your stead, in your place. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. What is it that Abraham sees? He sees through some eyes of faith. There is a provision. I don't know how it's coming. I don't know how you're going to do it. But God, you are the God who provides himself the lamb. I would offer, Abraham learned that when you empty your hands to God, you will never come away empty-handed. Did you notice that God never asks a sacrifice of you that he is not himself willing to offer? Yes, God did provide himself as the lamb. Abraham need only be willing to offer his son, but God is the one who did in fact offer his son, because God did so love the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you remember what Abraham called this place, where he was called to go? He was called to go to Mount Moriah. You say, what does he call Mount Moriah? He calls the place Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees. The other place in Scripture where this mount is mentioned, 2 Chronicles, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. This is the place where God instructed Solomon to build the temple, the place of sacrifice. God saw Abraham. God saw his need, and God could see his faith. Church, God sees you. He sees your need. He sees your faith. Faith in action, faith that obeys. How is this on display? It's on display when Abraham chooses the giver over the gift. To do so, he had to relinquish that which he held on to tightly, the coveted prize, the child. Who is the one that has filled your hand with blessing? It is God. Yet isn't it amazing that the blessings that have filled our hands are at times the very things that keep us from holding on to the hand of the giver because we are holding so tightly to the gifts? Will you, even today, with open hands, release that which you are holding on to so tightly and take the hand of the giver of good things?
We're glad you joined us for Rejoice in the Lord as we've discovered answers to life's questions from God's Word. For a recording of today's message, the most difficult test of all, call, write, or go online. Include a gift of $7.50 for a CD or $15 for a DVD. Write us at Rejoice in the Lord, Pensacola, Florida, 32523, or call 1-800-223-9727. Messages are also available on iTunes when you search Rejoice TV, or find us on YouTube by searching Rejoice in the Lord. Your financial support is vital to keep Rejoice on the air. Your tax-deductible gift enables this viewer-supported ministry to spread the gospel around the world, encouraging Christians and reaching people for Jesus. This is Rejoice in the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today for Rejoice in the Lord. I'm John Lands, and I want to tell you about this year's best musical moments from Rejoice TV. We often hear from viewers who tell us how much they enjoy the music on Rejoice. And for several years now, we've assembled a collection of songs that we think are the best musical moments. And this year, we have something extra to offer. In addition to a CD and DVD, you can now enjoy this collection through a convenient digital download. For your gift of $70 or more to Rejoice, we'll send you the best musical moments of 2024. We don't often mention our need for financial support, but the need is great, and your gift helps us continue this ministry in your area and worldwide. Call, write, or go online today to request 2024's best musical moments.